Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com today. Very excited to introduce a personal friend of mine, Dr. Ron Lester. He's from Tucson, Arizona. Here's Dr. Ron.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or good evening, whichever it may be in your area. This is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona, and we are so thrilled to be part of BPN Radio and part of the Sunday schedule and preaching and what have you, and it's our pleasure, and we just enjoy preaching, and we're thankful that God has given us this opportunity. We're grateful, and today we're going to continue what we started last week on Watchmen. So we're going to call this Watchman number 2, and we're going to read Ezekiel 33:1-9 about the Watchman. And my cohort over here is Paul, and he's my grandson, and he's going to read that scripture for us. Since I'm totally blind, it's always nice to have somebody that can help us. And so, Paul, are you ready?
Yep.
All right, read away.
Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory, and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows a trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees a sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at my watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from this way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to prayer. Father, as we come up for you, we're so grateful for your word, and we ask you, Lord, to minister today and touch each one out there that's listening. I ask you to anoint their ears to hear your word. Anoint this tongue that I might speak the words that you'd have me to speak. And so, Lord, we thank you for it, and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting. I have a vision of people, millions and thousands, upon thousands of people listening around the world. I just feel like, you know, that the message has to get out around the world on this internet. I don't know how many people's listening. I wish I could tell you how many is listening, but I know that the message is going to many nations. We know that it's going to at least 107 nations around the world. This computer technology is so awesome, and we're grateful for that opportunity, and we pray that the door will remain open forever. I know that it's a challenge in some areas of the world, where they don't have that liberty to have the freedom to speak on anything or have any freedom whatsoever. And I pray that God would minister to those countries. I know that I hear the punishment or the persecution that's happening to Christians around the world. Especially I hear that China is cracking down on churches and destroying Bibles and what have you. I know that we've sent millions of Bibles to China over the years, and it's sad to hear that they might be destroying those Bibles. I just pray that God would awaken those leaders and help them to understand, hey, it's not good to destroy the Word of God. And I just believe that the Word of God needs to go forth, and we pray that, these people will have a way of memorizing the Word, and they can pass it on. I know they've done that for generations, quite some time, since the 40s and what have you. But anyway, today we're talking about the watchman, and the watchman is a standing on the wall, and he's watching to see if the enemy is coming, and if he has a horn to blow, he has a trumpet to blow, or whatever it may be, he's got, if he sees the enemy, he will blow that trumpet. And if the people listen for that trumpet, they know to get prepared because the enemy is coming. And I just believe that it's time for us as Christians to blow the trumpet around this nation, around the world. And that's what I'm doing today, is I just feel like I need to blow the trumpet for you, for people in this world, that, hey, you need to wake up and realize that there is an enemy out there that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's in John 10:10. Jesus said, I came to give you life and more abundantly. And so I know that the old devil has come to that place where that he knows that his time is short. And, the enemy is raising its ugly head all over this United States. And it's a challenge to see what is happening in our nation, with the Judge Kavanaugh and all of the things that is coming against him. This is a good, godly Christian man, and there is nothing wrong with him. But the other side is so afraid of this man, and we pray that God would install him as one of the Supreme Court judges. I just believe that we need to hold him up in prayer as they go to select and vote on this man. I just believe that the Lord is able to bring this forth, and I trust that you will pray and seek the Lord for this election. I just pray that we, need to blow the trumpet. If we don't get out and vote this election in November, I believe that there is going to be a time that the wrong side will get in, and they will try to kick our president out. That is pro-life. That is set a lot of things straight and trying to do what the Constitution says and what have you. And I just pray, Lord, help us, help this nation. So I'm blowing the trumpet. We need to wake up, Christians. We need to awaken to the hour that we're living in. I just believe that we're at the 11th hour and 59 minutes and, 30, 40, 50 seconds. We are that close to the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. And we see many things that are coming together around this nation, around the world. We see, Iran, the Gog and Magog, Iran and Russia and Syria and Turkey all coming together. I think they're going to, probably include Iraq, and they're coming together. And I just, that's what it says about Gog and Magog, the country to the north. And we see that happening right as we speak. And, Israel is in a tough situation. And we just believe that, that we're pro-Israel. We believe in Israel. And we pray that God would work this peace talks out some way. And, you know, we need to be watching for this. You know, when we see things coming like it is right now, I just know that we're blowing the trumpet and say, wake up, wake up, wake up, folks. Be stirred in your spirit. I just know that God is able to stir you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Get on fire for God. Blow a trumpet. Talk to someone about Jesus. I like the story that I've played many times on my special needs watch about the little man down in Australia. For 40 years, he gave out tracts, and he would, he was on George Street down there in Sydney, Australia, and he would pass out tracts to people for all the people that come up and down that street. You know, for when he got saved, he told the Lord, he says, I will testify 10 times about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did, he would have a tract and he would go out and he'd hand that tract to him. And he says, if you were to die today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? And, you know, he did that consistently for 40 years. And, you know, he never had one individual come back and tell him that he got saved. But at the end of his life, when he was a little crippled old man, there was an individual that came, and he had calculated how many people that had gotten saved through this man's ministry. You know, it was every time that this missionary went to speak someplace, he would ask him, you know, how did you get saved? And they would always say, you know, oh, there was a little old man down on George Street in Australia. And he would just lighten up and he said, man, oh man, every time I turn around, I hear the same thing. And so anyway, he looked him up. He was doing a service in Australia. And he looked this little man up and they went to him, and this man had counted everybody that he could, and it was 140,000 people that had gotten saved from this little man that had been blowing the trumpet. Hallelujah! See, he was a watchman on the wall, and he was blowing the trumpet and trying to tell people that they need to get saved. And that is so awesome when you think about it. You know, this little man, he said, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years. Sometimes I'd be sick and I'd have to make it up, you know, and I'd hand out 10 tracts, or I'd hand out 15 or 20 the next few days if I was sick and what have you. But I've been consistent at that. And, you know, this little old man, you know, he said, I never had anybody tell me that they got saved. So this man was telling him all of these, and he began to cry, and he began to weep. And, you know, I know that many times that I've taken and walked the streets. I've walked the streets of, you know, Oklahoma City. I walked the streets of, you know, Purcell and Lexington and Oklahoma there. And I walked the streets in St. Louis. I walked the streets in Arnold, Missouri. I walked the streets in, you know, California, down in Watts, and different places south of L.A., all over Gardena and what have you, and all over Salton City and the desert shores and what have you. We passed out tracts, and we invited people to church, and we asked them, you know, a lot of them, if they were to die today, are they sure they would go to heaven? You know, I don't know if there's anybody ever got saved from that or not. But I know that God is keeping a record. He keeps a record of everything that happens. And so, I just feel like that I'm on the wall right now, and I'm blowing a trumpet and telling you to wake up and realize, hey, We've got to blow a trumpet, folks. If we don't blow the trumpet, the blood is going to be on our hands. I just believe that the Lord will show us how many opportunities we've missed. Oh, my. Can you imagine how many opportunities we've been prompted to say something and we reluctantly did not do it because we was afraid of what somebody might say or what somebody might feel, and we didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And so, you know, we've got to get over that. We've got to have holy boldness and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to speak. Whenever the Lord gives me the opportunity, I'm going to witness to that individual. And so I just pray that you will blow a trumpet. Oh, open your mouth and say, yes, Lord, I will do it. I will say yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I tell you what, when we think about Mordecai, you know, on the wall, you know, they were in captivity, and he was sitting at the front of the gates as it went in, as the people went into the city and what have you. And he was watching for the Jews, for those. He was a Jew that had been captured and brought to the Persian and the Medes, and he was there, and that's basically Iran now. And I tell you what, he was sitting at the gate, and he was listening for everything that you could, you know, everything that was going on. And he heard one day, you know, that the king and the queen had got into it, and basically, you know, she would not come out and, you know, parade herself before the other kings and what have you. And so anyway, he put her away in some aspect and put out a menu that all of the virgins to come, and the king would select a new queen. And Mordecai, you know, he had a niece or a cousin, I don't know which it was, but anyway, he had taken this young lady into his, house and took care of her and what have you. Her parents had gotten killed. So he wanted her to apply. And so she did. And as they, spent the year, many of the people really liked her and what have you. And sure enough, she became the queen. And so Mordecai, every time that something would happen, you know, he even discovered a plot that was against the king. He was going to be assassinated. And so he sent a message to the queen. And the queen, Esther, she basically sent a message to the king that there was going to be a plot and who it was, and put it in Mordecai's name. And so anyway, they spoiled that plot and what have you. And Mordecai heard, you know, basically that Haman was going to, you know, Haman was a man that was supposed to be right under the king and then be his, confidant and what have you. And so anyway, he got the king to basically put out a proclamation that that all the Jews was going to be killed on a certain day. And so anyway, Mordecai heard about it, and he went to the queen, or he sent a message to the queen and said, it's your time. This is your time to be able to go and present yourself and basically protect our country, our people that is in this country. And so she finally was able to do that. And so anyway, he was a watchman. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to be watchmen on top of the gate, up on the walls. I tell you what, you look at Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was an individual that basically, you know, he was a cupbearer for the king. And the cupbearer, basically, his job was to taste of the wine or the juice or whatever it was to make sure that there wasn't any poison in it. If he didn't die, the king would go ahead and drink it. And so this was his job, and he was to smile, and he was to be, head up and what have you. But he had heard that the ruins of Jerusalem, the walls had been broken down. And so he had a desire. God put on his heart to go and rebuild the walls. And so he went to the king. And he asked, the king asked him, why are you so downtrodden? Why are you so sad? And he says, my country, the walls are broken down, and I want to go back there, and I want to build the walls back up. And the king, he loved this man, Nehemiah, and so he said, yes. Okay, and he's asking him again. He says, can I get letters to get passage through? And can I get letters for timbers to rebuild the wall and what have you? And so the king gave him all kinds of letters to take with him and what have you. And when he got there, the people that were there in that area, they began to rise up, and they begin to say, who is these people, that come and to rebuild the walls? They're going to take all of our authority away. And anyway, they came against him, and they tried to get him, Nehemiah, to come and counsel with him out of the realm of the Jerusalem. And he says, no way am I going to go to their community and talk with them. No way. And so anyway, he knew that the enemy was about to come. And so anyway, he told everybody, he says, you carry a sword and, you work with one hand and you carry that sword. And they did. And they built that wall in 58 days, and they were ready to blow a trumpet. If the enemy came, they were to blow a trumpet. They were to yell out. And so you have to realize that basically, I don't know how big that wall was or how long it was, but it was a considerable distance. And I'm sure that, that there was a considerable distance between each man and what have you. But Nehemiah was a watchman. And all of those men was watchmen. And they rebuilt, and they brought that wall back up to where it was supposed to be. So are we being a watchman? I think about Peter. Jesus, in John, he told Peter, he says, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. He says, feed my sheep. Then he told him again, he said, feed my sheep. And Peter, he looked at him, and he says, this is a real disgusting thing. What about John over here, And Jesus said, well, what is that to you? But he told Peter, he says, you've got to get on the wall and you got to tell people about Jesus. You got to tell, what you've seen. And, he did. He began to preach the word. After 10 days, there was something that happened to those guys, in the upper room after they'd been fasting for 10 days. I tell you what, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the power of God was upon each one of them. And they began to speak in other tongues, and they went out into the streets and what have you, and everybody in different languages heard their language be spoken. I've heard people speak, in different languages, and I wondered, what language it actually was. I never knew anybody that except for one individual that I'd heard. He said that he began to speak in tongues, and he spoke in perfect Japanese of some kind. And there was a person that was walking down the hallway that was a Japanese, and he heard this man praying in tongues. And he realized that this man was speaking perfect Japanese. And finally, he knocked on the door, And he began to, you know, the message that he was speaking in tongues was a message that convicted this man, and he had to talk to him. And he came to the door, and he says, I heard you speaking in Japanese. Who were you talking to? And he says, I was not talking to anyone. I was praying. And he says, but you were praying, you know, if you were praying, you were speaking in Japanese and praying. And so he realized, you know, that basically his tongue was in Japanese. Wow. But this man got saved just because of that message that he had been speaking in that unknown tongue to this man. And so, you know, you never know what, when you're speaking in tongues and when you're praying, you don't know what language it is. I don't have any idea, but I pray in the unknown tongue. I, you know, speak in tongues and I pray. You know, I'm like Paul. You know, Paul says, I speak in tongues more than anyone else. And that's what we got to do. We got to pray. Every time we got to, you know, have a spare moment, we need to pray and pray in tongues and you know, and meditate on the Lord. And I just, you know, that's what he tells us to do. You know, he says to take the word of God and meditate on it day and night. And I know that many of us, we're so busy that we don't have time to read the word and we don't have time to pray. And we need to think about that. Are we really doing what the word of God tells us to do? He says to meditate on the word day and night. He said to pray without ceasing. Now, folks, that is a serious commandment that we need to think about. You know, I know that, you know, he gave us several commandments. He said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Then he said to love thy neighbor as thyself. And then, you know, interesting thing is that when you go to Mark 16 and 15, what did he say? He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. He says to, you know, to heal the sick, cast out demons, you know, go forth. That's what we're to do, is to speak the word and pray and seek God. Hallelujah. And open up our eyes and see those people going into hell, going out into eternity lost and without the Lord. I heard a man tell, you know, the other day that he was, you know, that he was having a internal bleeding. And as he was having internal bleeding, he passed out. And, you know, he couldn't talk. He said, I was trying to talk. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even think of anything, you know, to say or what have you. And so he realized that he was, he said this thing after that. He says, I knew I was fixing to die. His blood pressure had got so low that they couldn't even get a blood pressure at all. And so they finally, you know, give him some, fluids and what have you. They thought he was just dehydrated, and it came up to 50 over 30. And so anyway, they thought that would be sufficient, but he went on for another hour and passed out again. And so they called the paramedics back again, and the paramedic says, I can't feel any pulse. I can't find any. And the man says, he began to talk, and he says, I hear your voice. And the guy asked him, he says, have you got any helicopter insurance? You know, they was fixing to airlift him into the hospital, and they were an hour and a half away from town. And, you know, he says, I got to the place where I couldn't do anything. And so, you know, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to turn your heart over to the Lord. You need to come to that place, you know, where that you accept the Lord as your Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Today, forgive me of my sins, Lord, and I accept you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona, And I just praise God that you've been listening to me today. Hope you got something out of this message. I tell you, God is good. Amen. Praise his holy name. Thank you. Talk to you soon.